thank God for you being out on this morning. Give God praise for our praise and worship team. Thank God for praise and worship. Amen. Praise God. And this morning what I want to do is talk about a subject here. Still dealing with faith. But I want to start out by sharing. I want to share a short story with you. Now, understand, I'm not sharing this with you this morning to brag or boast on what Quantrell and I have done, because Quantrell and I can't do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. But for the reason I'm sharing this is because of where we're going today and what I need to say, and I think it'll help you. I can remember about, maybe eight and a half, maybe 9 years ago, we were attending Sheffield Family Life Center, and while we were there, they were just getting ready to enter into their building project, and they were talking about it, and they were excited about it, and we hadn't joined the church. We were just going there because we didn't have anywhere to go, and they began to talk about their building project and all of that great things and that they were going to do. So while we were there, I can remember God giving us the opportunity to do something. And we were sitting in a movie theater, Quantrell and I, and the Lord began to talk to me, and he says, "I want you to sow $1,000 into their building project." Now, we had just got our income tax, and that's all the money we had. So when I told Quantrell that, she kind of cringed up, and I did too. You know, I'm like, man, that's it, you know. But Quantrell said, okay, and I said, okay, and we agreed. So we sold $1,000 into Pastor Westlake's dream of bringing his building to pass. Then we left from there, and we went to, I believe it was New Bethel. And while we were there at that church for a while, the Lord spoke to Quantrell and told us to sow some things into Pastor Johnson, Sister Johnson's life, and we did it. Amen. With no hesitation, we just did it. Now, understand, it's not like we had a lot of money. You know, we didn't have a lot of money. You know, it was tight. But God was asking us to do some things, and it was tough for us to do, but we did it. So we sowed that into Pastor Johnson and Sister Johnson's life, and God moved us on from there after a while. And then we ended up going down to over to Pastor Stacy's church. Pastor Stacy's church out in Lee Summit. And while we were there, he was talking about they were doing an expansion project and everything was going on, and they wanted to expand some things. They had some awesome property that they needed to convert into a parking lot because they didn't have any more parking for their services and everything. And so the Lord spoke to us and said, "Now I want you to sow $500 into their expansion project." I mean, God's asking us to sow some wops of money here, and, you know, it's not like we have a lot in the bank. You know, back then, I don't even think we had a savings account, you know, but we made the necessary sacrifices, and we did it. And we sold the $500 into Pastor Stacy's dream, you know, of expansion. So then we moved on from there, and the Lord took us down to, we were down in Branson. We were down in Branson, Missouri. We went to a victory campaign down at the Copelands were doing in Branson 1 year. This probably was about three years ago. And while we were there, the word was good. Another opportunity came up for us to get involved in another man's dream. At that time, Kenneth and Gloria were believing God for a Citation 10, $18 million plane. And they were believing, you know, if you know anything about it, they don't believe in borrowing money. So there was an $18 million plane they were believing God for. Had been believing God for about 10 years here, and I'll show you what happened. And so we were standing down there, and the Lord gave us an opportunity to get involved with that. So while we were sitting there in the chair, something just jumped all over me, and I was like, and I'm like, "Quantrell, we're supposed to be involved with that. We're supposed to help do that." And so Quantrell said, "Okay." So we got up, and we went up front with the rest of the people, and it was a packed out auditorium, but didn't that many people come forward? But we got up, and we went forward. So we had, that was, you know, God was requiring us to sow a $2,000 seed into this plane, to the dream of Kenneth and Gloria receiving this plane. Now, we didn't have $2,000. At this time, we didn't have $200. We were down there on faith. But we agreed. So I came home and I got busy. you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and my heart was, we got to help Kenneth and Gloria get this plan. I got to help them get this plan. It was just in me to do it. And we sold our $2,000 into that plan. Actually, we sold a little bit more. I think we ended up around about $2,500 into that plane project, helping him to bring about his dream. And so I was sitting at work last week, and I was looking at his website, and they sent out invitations to come down to his headquarters in Fort Worth because they had received their plane. Debt free. I mean, they paid a whole $18 million and had their plane. And they were having a celebration to all the people that had joined up to help them do it. And I couldn't go because I couldn't get off work to go, but it was on the internet. And so I was watching on the internet. And, you know, they had rolled out the red carpet, and he flew the plane in and flew it around a few times. The camera got it all on camera. And then they landed and drove it right up to the red carpet, and he got out, and they had the celebration. But what I want to get to is this. The words that I heard while we were watching this. And the words were this. We, talking about me and Quantrell now, we have helped other people fulfill their dream. And by us showing into another man's dream, it has put us in a position for God to help us meet our dream. Now you say, well, what's the scriptures for that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm not trying to brag and boast about what me and Quantrell has done, but what I'm trying to show you is God is telling us and is trying to show us this morning that as you help and as you invest into another man's dream, now Ephesians the 6th chapter says that you do, it says that the good that you show or the love and the good that you show to another, the same the Lord will do for you. So we've helped many people, and that's just some of the things that we've done. But we've helped many people fulfill their dreams. And God is beginning to speak to us and let me know that our dreams are going to be fulfilled. Because as we have helped other men and women to accomplish their dreams, there are men and women that God has positioned to help us accomplish our dreams. Now, I'm telling you this because there are some things that Quantrell and I are getting ready to walk into. And I want you to know, see, the devil has tricked God's people into believing that the only people to get blessed is the pastor or the leaders in the church, and maybe we might have a chance. No, God is interested in anybody that's willing to get involved with helping him do the work of the kingdom. Now, this has happened for this sowing of seed that we've been doing, that I've been talking about here for the last few minutes. We've been doing over the last past 8-9 years. And every time I sowed the seed, I was fully expecting some grand thing to happen right away. But nothing happened in the physical. But over the period of time, I have been able to say that God has made sure that all of our needs have been met. God has brought us from having nothing to where we were able, where we couldn't meet our needs. Now our needs are met and there is no struggle at it at all. Now, here we are about 8-9 years later, and I've seen the blade pop up through the ground. Say, what was that? Well, God has made sure, Quantrell has a wonderful job, made good money. Then God just turned right back around and gave me a $10,000 raise. See what's happening? The blade is popping up through the ground. But see, I can't stop there because that's not the fulfillment of my dream. That's not the fulfillment of what we're believing God for. But God has said to me that because we've helped another person, because we've got involved with other people's dream, it has given him a right to open up the door for people to get involved with our dream. Now, the reason I want to share that this morning is for where we're going this morning. Because I want to minister to you this morning on never giving up on your dream. And it's going to be important for you to understand never giving up on your dream. It is vital important to your success. Your faith needs it. So now, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. And then it goes on and says, and every time there's an opportunity, take advantage of it. Now, God was presenting us along the path with opportunities. We could have said, nah, Lord, we don't have any money, and that's just too hard for us to do. But we didn't. We got involved with it, and it was tough. And everything that God asked you to do is not going to be easy. We didn't have $2,000 to put into an old plane project. But I made a determination in my heart and my mind that I was going to do it. So we sacrificed, and we took from here, we took from there. And every time we had some extra, we send it up there to that plane project. And we got our $2,000 in, we got about $2,500 in, and I was excited about that. And to see that man fly that plane in there, $18 million worth of plane. It is the fastest commercial or private jet you can own. Anything faster, you got to join the Air Force to get in it. Brand new. Debt free. Now, God is no respecter of person. And there are things that I'm believing God for. And there's things Quantrell's believing God for. And I heard it said that we have helped bring another man's dream to pass. Now God is able to help us bring ours to pass if we won't give up on it. So what I want you to understand this morning is, what is it that you have been dreaming for that you haven't received yet? Have you given up on it? Because I want to encourage you not to. And if you have, go back and pick it up. Now I'm talking about things that God has given you, not your little wacky, wild ideas that you just, you know. I'm talking about things that have come to you from God that are, well, let's get into the word. Let's go to Isaiah 45 this morning. And I want to minister this to you. Now, bringing your dreams to pass it won't happen without your participation. Any and everything that God does in your life, he does in partnership with you. He doesn't do all the work. There's a part that you play, and there's a part that he plays. Now, and all of us in here know about partnership. Partnership means that there's a piece for you and a piece for them. And if you don't do your piece, then they can't do their piece. That is the definition of a partnership. So now, let's look here. Isaiah 45, verse 8. And I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, let fall in showers, ye heavens from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Now here's how they define that. The pure, spiritual, heaven-born possibilities that have their foundation in the holy being of God, let the earth open, and let the sky and the earth sprout forth salvation, and let righteousness germinate and spring up as plants do together. The Lord have created it. Now, let me go back to the top of that scripture. It says, let fall in showers, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down. So in other words, there's some information that's coming from above. We're not talking about stuff that you're dreaming up for lustful desires for you to waste and heap and hoard up on yourself. We're talking about heavenly things that are coming down from God in heaven. It says, and let the righteousness, let it rain down. Now listen to how he defines the word righteousness. The pure. So first of all, the things that are coming from God are pure. Spiritual. So these are not fleshly things. These are things that are coming from heaven to your spirit. Your spirit is receiving them. It says they are the heaven-born possibilities that have their foundation in the holy being of God. Then it says, let the earth open, or let the people who this revelation is coming down to, or who God is trying to send these possibilities to, receive them. Open up and receive them. And then it says, and let the skies and the earth. Now here's the partnership. Coming down from God, and you on the earth open up to receive partnership, then what happens? Let it sprout and bring forth salvation, or the deliverance that you're looking for, in the area that you're looking for. So it won't sprout until you've received it. See, there's a part that you're going to have to play. And part of your responsibility is the receiving. God's part in this bringing about of these possibilities is to give them and then to anoint you and bless you with the ability through your faith to bring it to pass. So that's his part. Your part is to do the receiving and the obeying. So it says, now when you open up and receive it, it'll sprout and bring forth. And then it'll germinate. You'll conceive it on the inside. And once it's conceived, it says it'll spring up or it'll come to manifestation as plants do. Or like a seed, when it's sown, it will grow and it will grow, sprout and grow up. And it says it's all been created by the Lord. So it's all from God. Now, possibilities. The Bible says that they're pure, spiritual, heaven born possibilities whose foundations are in God. Now, the word possibility means capable of existing. Capable of existing. Occurring. Or being done. So these possibilities that God has, is that are born of God, are capable of existing. I don't care how ludicrous it sounds. These possibilities that are from God will occur if you stick with them. They can and will be done if you stick with it. So now it's saying here, now these are the possibilities that are coming down from our, from the Holy Being or from our Father who is God. He is raining down heavenly, spiritual, pure possibilities down, but you have to receive it with your spirit and then do the necessary work to go along with it to bring the possibilities to pass. Now, possibilities leads to dreams. Possibilities lead to dreams. See, things start out with a possibility. God offers you or presents to you the possibility. This can happen for you. See, God speaks to your spirit and he'll say to you that this can happen for you. But at that moment, it's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to receive that possibility. You can say or listen to the devil tell you that there's absolutely no way that that's going to come to pass and discard it, abort it, and it's gone. Or you can ponder in your heart and in your mind long enough to where that possibility then takes on the form of a dream. Now, what is the definition of a dream? Dreams are visions of the imagination. Dreams are visions of the imagination. So now the possibility has lingered in your heart long enough now to where it's gone from just a maybe to a dream. Where now it's not just I wonder, but now it's gone to I can begin to see myself with this. I can see myself with this. I'm beginning to imagine in my mind how it would be. I'm dreaming. Now you say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You've done it throughout your whole entire life. You see a little kid on the carpet with a car? What are they doing? They're dreaming of the day when they sit behind that steering wheel and drive that car. You see a little girl rocking her little baby, combing her hair, doing what all they doing? What are they doing? They're dreaming of one day having their family. So they're doing it. You've done it all your life. But we get over here and we don't connect the two with the things of God. So now it's gone from a possibility to a dream. Now I'm beginning to see it in my imagination. It's in there. I see it. It's a vision of my imagination. Now, what does the Bible have to say about these things? Because if now after it gets to this point as a dream, now it's gone from a possibility to a dream. See, it's gone from just a wondering if to I'm beginning to see myself with this or doing this. Now, at this point, it's crucial that you make a memorial to help you remember the dream. Because if you don't, you put yourself in a position of losing the dream. See, many of us, if you see it right now, just go back in your mind, there are many of things that you have wanted to do and you've dreamt of doing. But because of time and delay, you've either forgotten it or you've thrown it by the wayside. Why did that happen? Because you didn't have a memorial for it. So over the period of time, it kind of just fades away. Because you have nothing to come back to remind you of it. Now, let's go to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, we're talking about never giving up on your dream. Now, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says, I will stand up on my watch. Now, we've talked about it. Now, we're talking about praying. Meditating, fellowshipping with God. And set me up on the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. So I'm going to put myself in a position to receive these pure, spiritual, heaven-born possibilities from God. All right? Verse 2. And the Lord will answer me and say, write the vision. Write down the dream. Write it down. And make it plain upon tables. Write it down. That he may read it, that readeth it. So now you have to write it down because life gets fast and life moves at a fast pace. The Amplified Bible says they can see it quickly while they're running fast. Because it's plain, it's there. But life moves at a fast pace. And if you don't put your dream down before you as a memorial, as life moves past, you will forget it. Because you'll run away from it. Because there are so many things coming at you on a daily basis, year in, year out. And the problem with us as black people, we think everything's supposed to happen tomorrow. But no great person that's done any great thing did it in a day, except God. Everything took time. Well, even the greatest things God has done took time. It took him thousands of years to get Jesus on the scene. So write it down. And this book is a book of God writing his dream. From Genesis to Revelation is the dream that God had when he said, let us make man in our image. This is God's dream. He wrote it down. And every time it's read, it is a reminder of what God is dreaming. So you have to write your vision, write your dream down. Somewhere. Now, I'm not saying write it down in a tablet and throw the tablet on the shelf. No, you got to put it somewhere where it becomes a reminder to you. You need pictures. You need everything that goes along with that dream. And put it before you on a daily basis so that you can be reminded of your dream. So that you don't forget it. For the vision is yet for appointed time. Means it will, there's a set time and it's out there. And at the end, it'll speak and it won't lie. Now, if it's from God, if its foundation is in God and it's from God, it will not lie. It says, wait for it. See, here's the problem. We don't want to wait for nothing. Well, if it don't happen in the next year, I'm giving up on it, moving to something else. Well, you'll never get anything done. Wait for it. It says, though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. It won't be long. It will not be forever. But you got to put yourself in a position where you're willing to stand and believe God for your dream. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So faith is going to have to be involved in you seeing your dream come to pass. If you're not willing to wait on seeing your dream come to pass, nothing will ever come to pass in your life. You won't be fulfilled. You won't be fulfilled because everybody sitting in this room have received heaven-born possibilities. And you've dreamed them and you've wanted them and you've desired them. But they will not come to pass unless you make an effort to do your part. And part of your part is recording your dream. Reminding yourself of your dream. The Holy Spirit will remind you, but the Holy Spirit can only work with you to the extent that you're willing to let him work. Now, once you've discarded it and you have aborted it, then the Holy Spirit has a problem with talking to you about that again. But as long as you're pulling on that dream and reminding yourself of that dream and you're dreaming it, whoa, I can see myself doing it. I can see myself. I was born to drive a Mercedes-Benz. See, I hear men talk about Rolls Royces and Lamborghinis, and I don't want none of that stuff. I was born to drive a Mercedes-Benz. I know I was. And I can see myself in it. I hear Quantrell and his sister, them talking all the time about when they were little, how Quantrell would walk around with little bags of papers all the time. Papers. He was a business person. Papers, papers, papers. And now she's in school for business. And she has papers everywhere at the house. And she's good with her papers. When I was small, I've always said about myself, I'm going to wear a suit and tie to work. And here I stand in a suit and tie at work. See, they're there. They've always been in there. But we don't stick with the stuff long enough to see it come to pass. So now it's your job to write it down. Now, why do we need to write it down? Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Now look at what it says here, verse 18. Hold on. That's not what I want right now. Hold on. No. There's a scripture, Proverbs 18. Is it Proverbs 18? I just forgot to write the scripture down. I forgot to write it down. I'll tell you what it says. It's Proverbs 29. There it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 29. Verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy. It says, but he that keepeth the law or keepeth the word, happy is he. Where there's no dreams, people perish. When you have no, now the word vision, now remember we said the definition for dream is visions of the imagination. So where there's no vision or where you have no dreams, the people perish. they have no future. Nothing to look forward to. No future. When you don't have any future, you give up on life. You stop living. If you have no dreams about where you want to be or where you want your life to go, then where are you going? Nowhere. So your life stays in the rut that is in continuously. You never get out. Because you have no ambition to be somewhere, because there's no goal. You have no dream. So that's why it's important to write your dream down so that you can always remind yourself of where you're going. It says, though it tarry, waits for it. See, things will come up and things will happen. But you got to remind yourself of where you're going. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth will one day come to the question, why do I exist? Everyone will come to that question. It is built in to come to that question. God built it in there. And it has everything to do with your destiny, everything to do with that dream, everything to do with that heaven-born possibility. But if you never write anything down, if you never remember anything, and if you have no dreams, you are going nowhere, and your life becomes stagnated. And anything that's stagnated becomes, it has an odor to it, and it eventually becomes toxic and dangerous to health. That's why you have people say, I'll never be nothing, I'll never get anything, and I'll never go anywhere. They have no dreams. I grew up with people, everybody in my neighborhood, almost everybody in my neighborhood is either dead in jail or still in the corner. They had no dreams. They couldn't see past the block. Now, as parents, part of our responsibility is to help our children realize that there are possibilities. It's part of our responsibility to do that for them so that they can begin to dream. See, as long as you are a dreamer and the dream is alive on the inside of you, God can keep you here on this earth and you can keep moving. I heard that Oral Roberts was in the hospital. Creflo was telling this story. It was a while ago, and they thought that he was, you know, getting ready to die. They thought he was getting ready, it was over, and so everybody was coming to visit him in the hospital. So Creflo said he walked in to see him and Kenneth Copeland. They all walked in, and I think Jerry Seville, they all walked in to see Oral Roberts while he was in the hospital. And he said they walked up to his bedside, and before they get a word out, Oral Roberts starts talking about the dreams, all these dreams that he got, stuff that he's dreaming of. And he said, Creflo said, oh, man, you ain't dying. You got too much dream, too much vision on the inside of you. You ain't going nowhere. He didn't die. Because it's something about that dream on the inside of you that when it's not fulfilled and complete, you're not done. You want to keep going. It motivates you to live. The only people that's ready to die are people that have given up because they don't see any more hope. So where there's no vision, people perish. Now, possibilities lead to dreams, which are visions of the imagination, and now dreams are designed to produce hope. And faith brings hopes to pass. Now, dreams are designed to produce hope. I was looking at a TV program, and there was a doctor on, and he said that they had did some research about. He said, you know, there are a lot of people died on 9/11 in the buildings. He said, but no one really has sat down and talked about all the aftermath people that died after 9/11. And he said, after they did all the research and they began to figure out these people's hearts were stopping. They were having heart attacks. And he said that after they began to put together what the people were saying and what was happening, they began to find out that people had gave up hope. And he says they can't explain it, but there's a direct connection between hope and the human heart. Now, the human heart, I was laying down, the Lord said this to me, the human heart is a mirror of the heart of man or the spirit of man. The body can't survive without, your body can't stay alive without your spirit being in it. Nor can your body live without your heart pumping. Because all the necessary things for life flow through your blood, which the heart pumps. So when you give up hope, and he's saying that they were dying from heart attacks, and their hearts were stressing out because they had no more hope. I mean, it was just impossible for them to go on. There's a direct connection between your dream, your hope. Because your dreams, see, you dream it. See, it starts off with a possibility, remember? Maybe. But then it moves from the maybe to, I can begin to see myself doing this. Now, once it moves from the dream to hope, it goes from I can see myself doing to where I'm starting to expect it now. See, hope is an expectation of it coming to pass. See, now I'm gone from a maybe to, now this is going to happen. No, this is going to happen. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 here. Let me get into some of this. First Corinthians 13 and verse 13 says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, which is love, and these three. But the greatest of these is the love, the charity. Now notice it says, now abide it, your faith, which has to have hope, and all both and faith and hope need love. Because without love, nothing works. But the greatest of those three is the love. Now, chapter 14, verse 1 from the Amplified Bible says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your greatest quest, and eagerly pursue and cultivate spiritual endowments. Now abide it, faith, hope, love. Of the three, love's the greatest. Make it your pursuit. Make it your greatest quest, your aim for life. It did not say, make faith your greatest pursuit. It didn't say make your dream your greatest pursuit. Now, what most people do after it gets to the dream and the hope, they start going after the dream. That's dangerous. Because once that hope in there, that expectation of doing it gets in there, it's designed to create a drive on the inside of you, and it's supposed to happen that way. But it happens in proper perspective. But if you take that drive and allow that drive to get you in a position where you're now seeking after the dream, in other words, you would do anything to bring it to pass. And now you're in danger of Satan getting involved with the dream. It said, make love the greatest pursuit. Now, who is love? The Bible says God is love. So we make God our aim. We make God our greatest pursuit, our quest for life, and we keep him at the forefront, and that'll keep everything in balance. Satan has no way to contaminate the dream. There are plenty of people that have accomplished their dreams apart from God, but once it's done, Satan prostitutes them. And we know it's true. How many great men and women of God have done great things, great men and women in this world have done great things, but we didn't do it in connection with God, and they ended up being prostituted with it, or ended up destroying them. You can look in Hollywood. They've accomplished their dreams, rich, but the majority of them are just absolutely stark raving crazy. Because God is nowhere involved in it. But when I keep God first, when I make love, which is God, my aim, God helps to bring me in balance. He helps to keep everything balanced where nothing gets off track. And when my dream is birthed and it comes to pass, it's pure. God receives glory instead of man. It doesn't go from being Jesus to a higher power. It stays Jesus. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, dreams produce hope. But you have to stick with God to make sure that your dream don't get contaminated. But now, why is it important for you to have hope? An expectation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Where there's no hope, there's nothing for faith to do. When there's no expectation of it, you won't stand in faith long enough to bring it to pass. There's nothing for faith to work on because faith is the substance of the hope. So if there's no hope, you don't need any substance. What's faith going to do? It has nothing to bring to pass. But when I've taken the possibility and meditate on the possibility long enough to it's become a dream, that dream will produce a hope on the inside of me. And now when it gets to the hope on the inside of me, it'll begin to draw to itself the faith. See, we're trying to skip around and do things, but if we're stick with God and allow God to work the process, it works by itself. Just do your part. The dream produces the hope. The hope begins to draw in the substance. The substance that is drawing in is what's going to manifest your thing. Your faith is going to bring whatever you're hoping for the past. So as long as I'm believing God and I can see it in my mind, I'm dreaming it, I'm expecting it, and it's growing on the inside of me, my faith, then I get in the Word and I find what the Word says about it. I begin to meditate on it. I got my picture up there. I got my scriptures that I'm believing along with my picture, and I see it, and I'm expecting it, and I can just, I can just see myself in that thing. I can see myself doing it. But what's happening? Then your faith is now drawing to itself the necessary resources to bring that to pass. But when there's no hope, nothing's being drawn because there's nothing to do. All right? So you have to have hope. So you have to allow it to go from a possibility to a dream and from dream to an expectation. Hope is an expectation. It's not fantasy. Fantasy is a dream that has no possibilities of ever coming to pass. Your fantasize is a waste of time. But we're talking about pure heaven-born possibilities whose foundations are in God. When I take that and I meditate on that long enough, it turns into a dream and it turns into hope. And my expectation is no longer a fantasy. There's a reality. Now, what did I say possibilities were? The definition? It can occur. It can exist, and it will be done if you stick with it. See, it's not a fantasy. It's a reality to me because God said it. Now, do you believe that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Yes, I do. I've been believing God since the day I got saved. I ain't lying. The day God saved me, he put in me at salvation, I'm supposed to be rich. It's just when I'm sitting there, I've been on that since day one. Although they tried to strip it out of me, and it succeeded for a while, but God rekindled that thing. I'm supposed to be rich. And now everything that I'm doing in my life and I'm believing in my life and the seed that I sow along the way is preparing me and helping my hope, and my hope is drawing the faith in to do that. And God is doing it. We went from having absolutely nothing, the land of nothing, to the land of just enough. I mean, well, we went from the land of nothing, and then God brought us to the land where we could just enough. Our needs are met. And I mean, God has done it. I've watched God do that where we are able to live comfortable. Our needs are met. But that's not my dream. My dream is the land that flows with milk and honey where my cup runs over. but I got to do the necessary work on my end to get there. And I believe it. I see it. Quantrell and I was driving down the street one time. We were talking, and I told Quantrell, you know what? We supposed to be rich because our taste is just too high. It's hard for us to settle for the okie doke. It's not in us to do.